Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got David Chiesa. He's the Manager of Business Development in S&C Electric, part of their Power System Solutions Group. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you inviting us on.
Oh, well, it's always good to have somebody come on and talk to us about smart grid and wind and alternate energy integration technologies. Today you wanted to talk about wind, I understand.
Absolutely. Wind is an important technology that, as we look out there in the marketplace, we want to see wind continue to accelerate, and really not just wind, but all variable generation technologies. But, you know, like any good thing, there's two sides of the coin, right? There's good, and then there's concerns that come along with that as well. And some of what we wanted to talk about today are how to handle some of those concerns, what they are, and really how S&C can help mitigate some of those concerns.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, I mean, like right off the bat, the biggest issue is managing that variable power to the grid in a way that actually is cost-effective and beneficial, right?
Right. Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, go back 15 years ago. You know, the grid was pretty mature at that point. You know, it advanced a lot from where Edison took it at the beginning. But at the same time, it still was built on the idea that you'd have base load generation. You'd have a slow ramp rate. You'd have both up and down, and you'd have these base load large generators that the utilities could manage relatively easily. And if you think 15 years ago, the utilities even owned most of the generation, which, you know, through deregulation in the various states, they don't even own the generation so much anymore. You know, there are generation companies, there's grid management companies, and then there's utilities companies that do the delivery. And that's added to the complexity of the situation. But getting back to the grid, if you look at it, in the last 15 years, with the proliferation of all types of variable energy, variable generation, we now see the idea that you're going to bring 100 megawatts of wind onto the grid for a period of 3 to 4 hours while the wind is blowing, and then that is going to go away. And it's not going to go away in a gradual ramp rate decline. It's going to be there, and then it's going to be gone. And when that happens, you know, that's not the way that the grid was designed to operate as people were building it, from the nascent structure that it was up to this mature structure that we have today. It's a great grid. Anybody who says that we don't have a smart grid today really needs to go back and look at it. It's a phenomenal grid, but it is what it is. It wasn't designed, and the protections, the controls, none of that were designed for this type of variable generation that, look, we want to encourage. It's how we want to produce power in the future. We want to do it. We want to do it green. We want to do it clean. And these are our best options for it. And so you have to look at, how do we continue to make the grid safe, easy, stable to operate with this new type of generation coming online?
Mm-hmm.
And so really you have to go back and look at that. And S&C has been working with utilities. We're a 100-year-old company that started out with a simple liquid fuse, and now we've gone to these high technology products. And two of the ones that really impact this area are our DSTATCOM, which is a variable VAR compensation system, and we also make an energy storage system, and not just a small energy storage system, but a large energy storage system that's really a grid scale energy storage system. So in reaction to these new sources of generation, which I'm just going to call variable generation, coming online, utilities and management companies such as ERCOT have had to go back and say, all right, when I just put one of them on, my grid was stable enough, large enough, robust enough to be able to handle that. But Alex, if I go and I put 100 of them on, which is the case in ERCOT, and they're large, some of them are 20 megawatts, some of them are 50, some of them are 200, some of them are 500, I have to have a way to manage that and to protect, and we're going to use the term stiffen the grid, from that perspective of how do I buy myself some buffer against this idea of fast in, fast out, and not just a few megawatts, but large amounts of megawatts both entering and exiting my system.
Mm-hmm,
and that's where we come in. We work with utilities all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of speak utility, if you will. And so we have this group that does consulting and analytical services that does these impact studies, generation impact studies. And so the utilities, both the generators and the grid management companies, come to us and say, okay, what's the impact if I put these six generation sites onto this area of my grid? You know, how do I make this grid stiff enough to be able to handle the inflows and outflows of this power on a somewhat unpredictable manner? And so that's where we get into it, and we come up with ways to stiffen that grid. And one of the ways, right away, is the power factor idea of, you know, I need a leading and lagging power factor so that, you know, I'm not seeing these dips and surges in the system. And the DStatCom enables you to do that because it can actually go in there and provide that type of power factor correction on a large scale. And if you put it close to the source, you combine it with cap banks, you can really get that power factor really tight. And that makes the variable generation look more like this base load generation that the grid is used to seeing and handles extremely well. You couple that with energy storage, and now you take this large variable generation, you run it through an energy storage media, that does power factor correction for it as well, but then it also smooths it and makes it look like more of this base load generation, because if you have more power, then it stores it. If you have less power, then it uses the power in the battery to bring it up to an area that the grid knows, or, you know, we know through those impact studies, the grid can handle regardless of what else is going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that brings us back to... go ahead.
Yeah, what I was going to say is the interesting aspects of it about it, David, is you can almost parallel it to the development of a single device circuit. You know, if you think about, say, an audio amplifier, you've got a sine wave, you've got to manage, you've got to distribute the power, you've got caps on the board, you've got to store that energy, and so then the question also becomes, who? It is a problem, but whose problem is it? You know, do you keep the management electronics as much as possible at the site and the grid level stiffening at the municipality or wherever the load microgrid happens to be? You know, there are a lot of questions involved in how it could be deployed. The interesting thing is that the technologies are there. It's just a question of how they should be deployed.
Right. I mean, it always, Alex, it always goes back to who's going to pay for it, right? I mean, that's what it boils down to. You know, we've got, with all clarity that you can see, we have solutions to be able to stiffen the grid at multiple levels. You can do it at the site of the generation. You can do it at the site where the power is consumed. There's a bunch of different ways that you can stiffen the grid. The question becomes, how do you do it? How do you pay for it? And from the variable generator's perspective, it's hard because the margins are tight in this area. To compete with the base load generation is difficult, and really that's the mature variable generation market, is where it costs the same amount or less than traditional generation. But when you go and capital stack these issues, where you say, I have to build the farm, and then I also have to put the capital in it for grid stiffening, and then I have to put this on, and then I have to put that on, next thing you know, with the cessation, you know, forecasted cessation of the tax incentives and the incentives for building, it becomes very difficult for the variable generation to compete, and that's not what we want. We want more of this generation. It's the future. It's where we want to go. It's how we want to generate our power going forward. So you have to solve that problem of where do you put it and who pays for it. And, you know, that's probably not a great discussion for today, because really it flows over into a socio-economic political discussion.
Exactly.
You know, in terms of, you know, how do you get there. But it's a real problem, and that's not a problem that I have a solution to. If you want to talk about power factor correction and energy storage, you know, SNC can help you out there. Solving socioeconomic political problems? We're going to leave that one alone, Alex.
It'd be office down the hallway. Right? But actually, though, David, the bottom line is that regardless of how the decisions are made, proper planning, proper design, proper execution can make a tremendous difference between the problem being a huge problem for someone and being a manageable problem for someone. If it's done properly, set up intelligently, simulated correctly beforehand, then you have a chance at tackling the issues without breaking the bank, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and the thing that I think is troubling or hard for some of these variable generators out there is when the situation changes, right? When they go and they put their financing structure together at the beginning of a project, you lay the rules out for them and you say, this is what you have to do. Once they know that they can meet that requirement, boom, they're done, they're off, they're running. But when you change the rules on them halfway through and say, all right, I know you already operated at tight margins, but you have to go do this for grid stiffening, that really, really hurts them. So that planning at the beginning to say, okay, let's look 5-10 years out and say grid stiffening is probably going to be an issue here, and include that in their original capital stacking that they're going to the financing area to try to get worked out, then they can make it work. Same kind of thing as we plan even further down the line and we look at how are we going to support local grids, and you build that even into microgrids, and you say, this particular area here, whether it's a research park or a small community that's going to really try to stiffen their own small area, if you put that into the planning as you're building these areas or building them out or modifying them, you can really mitigate a lot of these issues with minimal impact, financially, which is what everybody's concerned about, to make these things exist, because the technology is there. We make the technology. We can help you apply the technology. You just have to figure out what that value, what that payback is to you, and include it in the planning process up front. And that's really kind of how you have to attack this issue.
Excellent. Well, David, that's a very good point, and I'm glad there are organizations like yours out there that help people with it. Now, why don't you give us your website so our audience knows who they could look up?
Sure, absolutely. We're SNC Electric Company. We're based out of Chicago. Our website is www.sandc.com. So it's S-A-N-D-C, all one word, .com. And if you go on the website and you look in the little upper left-hand corner, it has a Contact Us button. Contact us. Say you want to talk to David Chiesa, the guy with the funny name, because it's spelled C-H-I-E-S-A. And, I'd be glad to help you out, talk you through whatever issues or solutions that you need.
Excellent. Well, hey, David, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Alex, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, the pleasure's ours. The pleasure's ours. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to be with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.